Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres now with a chance here to start something again. Paterka to the net, scores! J.J. Paterka with a beauty, and it's 5-4 Buffalo.
Dan Dunleavy on the call there. 5-4 Buffalo, don't worry, they would lose the lead again in that game. Ultimately, eventually lose 7-5 to Montreal. Goaltending very much optional yesterday, but perhaps the biggest storyline of that game, the health of Tage Thompson and Matias Samuelson. I don't really know if anyone actually even saw Tage Thompson get hurt or what happened. Just seemed to notice that he was not on the bench or wasn't playing much in the second period. And for more on yesterday's game, and really the last few for the Sabres, we go to the Western Hotline as Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, good morning. How are we doing today?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yesterday's game, Paul, as like a neutral fan, I would have loved it. As a Sabres fan, I was white-knuckling my steering wheel driving in yesterday.
Yeah, it just, so many chances to win. I mean, they kept coming back, and almost immediately they would come back. And then they gave up two bad goals in the last minute. Lots of mistakes were had there. I'm sure some pucks maybe Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen thought maybe he could have had too. And so now you're down again, but it took, what, 3.5 minutes to get back up again. They tied the game and took the lead rather quickly. And then it's just they revert back to, it seems like they revert back to what they know. No matter how well they're playing, no matter what year it is, no matter who the players are, it's, yeah, we can play well for three games or five games when you're, or six games rather, when you went 4-1-1, but you can't sustain it. And you can beat the Dallas Stars, and you can beat the Florida Panthers, and you can beat the New York Rangers, but you can't beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, or the Columbus Blue Jackets, or the New York Islanders, or the Montreal Canadiens. It's goofy. And all right, so here you are. You were the second worst team a week ago in the league. You win three in a row, so up the standings you go. And you're about in the middle now. Then you lose to the worst team in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the worst goals against in the league, who had lost six in a row, although they had won now they've won five in a row in Buffalo. But
thanks for that.
Yeah. But it just, the pattern never changes. And that's the problem. And they make goofy mistakes. The mistakes were plentiful yesterday. They're turning the puck over. They're not killing plays the way they are. Yeah, they scored five goals, but they only had 18 shots. A lot of goals came, you know, on the rush. And you gave your power, your penalty killing had been much better recently when you win three in a row. You gave up two power play goals. After you take the lead in the third period, you allow them to tie the game. Okay, you've allowed them to tie the game, but you're okay. You're not behind. So if you have to, get it to overtime. Whatever. But no. Your captain decides to take a stupid elbowing penalty. He just loses his focus. He lets anger get the best of him, and it makes him to make bad decisions on the ice. It's been happening all year. He wants to win so badly that when it doesn't go right, he gets so angry and so upset It takes away from his game, and he does things like that. That's not the first dumb penalty he's had to stand there after the game and say, I take responsibility for that. And I admire him for taking responsibility for that. But you got to stop doing it. You know, you just gave them a goal to make it 5-5, and within 20 seconds you take that penalty while they've got the momentum of just tying the game. So what did you think might happen? They might score a power play goal. Guess what? The leading goal scorer in the National Hockey League scored a power play goal. I mean, that's – they just can't build on their success long term. It's a short-term thing, and then they revert back to what they do. And then and we'll see it again. We'll see them play good hockey again. There's no question in my mind. And quite honestly, I do think they're a better team than they were last year. But they do the same types of things. The MO is still the same. And until I see something different, I have no reason to believe that that MO is going to change.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's my biggest thing, too, is just, like, as a fan, it's very frustrating. I've gotten to a point, too, wanting to, like, almost check in on these games, like, in clusters. I'm trying desperately, failing at times, but trying desperately to not look at one game and create a bunch of narratives about it. It's like, no, let's look at the week as a picture. But the Sabres do make it difficult because, Paul, as you pointed out, like, this is their MO. They'll win three in a row, and then they will play abysmally against one of the worst teams in hockey. Montreal wasn't even scoring all that much going into Buffalo. They put up seven, and they didn't even have a ton of shots either. It all of a sudden became bad goaltending, terrible defensive structure, and now, you know, you're right. They're going to play good hockey again. They may even on Thursday against St. Louis, who's also, you know, kind of around them in terms of not necessarily the standings, but in terms of their record. But the penalties too, Paul. This team and taking penalties. They took six yesterday. I mean, Dahlin takes the bad one, sure, but it's like you keep giving teams chances on these power plays. It's absurd at times.
And that had improved.
Until
yesterday. Mm-hmm. And now they're back to it. You know, and you know, defending had improved until yesterday when they're turning the puck over. And the first goal by Montreal, do you realize neither defenseman was back?
Mm-hmm.
Those were two forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Both defensemen had gone up into the zone, meaning two forwards were back, and Anderson got behind him. Whoa, what are you guys doing there? I know you want to help in the offensive zone, but both defensemen? And then you leave two forwards back there? But, all right, you did that, but look at what Tage Thompson does just a few seconds later. Comes barreling up the ice, realizes that Montreal did the same thing. Caulfield was back, blew around him, scored the goal. Okay, you're fine. It's 1-1. You can forget about that. You made a mistake, but Tage Thompson had you. He had your back. So now it's 1-1. Now let's go. Let's start playing the way you're capable of playing. Because you're not going to be perfect in the game. I mean, you're going to make some mistakes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You just have to minimize them and not make the mistakes that Lindy Ruff was talking about where, you know, you were in good shape and all of a sudden you did this. Why? Why did you complicate the play when you were in good shape type of a thing? And, you know, that's what, you know, we saw in that game. And it just is mind-boggling that because you would think, as I said, they are better. When they play the way Lindy Ruff is asking them to play, they're a darn good hockey team. For those three games, especially two plus two periods, they were a good team. You know, that in New York against the Rangers, that was a good hockey team. You know, so they're capable of it. That's and I think, you know, you talk about fans. The fans that talk to me, I think that's where their frustration lies because they see the capability. They see that it's there, the players are there, that they're very capable of being a good team. And they show it to us many times. But then this creeps in for maybe three games, maybe one game. I don't know how many games. Last time it was three games. After you win three, you lose three, you know?
And yeah, I think that's the fear, too, is like you lose to Montreal, but then you're looking at the schedule. And in a run here of teams that you, I mean, quote-unquote, the team that beat the Rangers and blew out Ottawa should beat, and you look and go, are we really just going to kind of just stick around 500, lose three here, get none of them to overtime so that we get no points for like a week? It's that's my thing, and where it's the constant frustrations. We've talked about it a lot. That's probably a big reason why this drought hasn't already ended, is this team's inability to drag games to overtime, to really let them slip late. Yesterday being kind of a magnifying glass on it. It's brutal at times.
And that's what I liked of the Calgary game, because they found a way to win the hockey game. They played a good 40 minutes. They didn't play a good third period, and they allowed Calgary to tie the game because of it. Okay. First of all, you're playing a Western Conference team, so if you get this to overtime and Calgary gets a point, who cares? It's not like you gave somebody around you in the standings a point. So fine, get it to overtime and now work to get your point. They did it. And that's what I liked about that game is, all right, maybe you didn't have the game you had against the Rangers, but you found a way to win the hockey game. And that's all that matters, is you got your 2 points. And that's what you're talking about, that there's not enough of those that you get to overtime and find a way to win a hockey game. That's one of the reasons probably why they didn't make the playoffs last year, because they were one of the worst in the league at getting games to overtime and getting the loser points. So, you know, that's exactly what they need. This game. All right, Montreal made it 5-5. You haven't played well. Don't take the penalty and get it to overtime, you know, and go get your try for your second point there. They pulled the goalie. Do you know that goaltender came in, made 4 saves, and got the win?
Oh.
He got the win, and Levi got the loss. And Levi let in 2 goals on 2 shots, but do you blame him on either one? He was totally screened on the first one. Mm-hmm. There are people all over. He never even saw it coming. And the second one is a cross-ice pass for a tap-in because nobody's got the guy off the post on the power play. I don't blame him for either goal, but he didn't make a save till 15 minutes into the third period.
Yeah.
Those were the only 2 shots Montreal had.
And that's the worst part, too. Let's not act like Montreal, you know, quote-unquote, like, earned those 7 goals. It was a lot of, like, for both teams, too, not really getting good shots, not hitting the net, anything like that. It's just when you did, it was, what, like a 50-50 shot they were going to go in?
I like to say 6 goals, the empty netter.
You
know, I ignore the empty netter. So, really, they had 6 goals against goaltending. And, you know, when the play was actually going on, Buffalo actually almost prevented the empty netter. I wish I remembered. I think it was Cousins who got back and actually spoiled the first chance the guys got. But he had to get off his skates and dive to make that play. And I did like the hustle there to get back. If it wasn't Cousins, I apologize. It was somebody else. But whoever it was got back there and you know, at least showed that, hey, I'm not gonna let them just dump the puck into the empty net. Unfortunately, you know, that by that time the guy who shot the puck went down, he went down, everybody went by the net, and there was another guy there who put it in. But it's just it's mind-boggling and I think what's more mind-boggling to me is that this group does it that way that we've described, but so did the group before them. And you know, when you look at this overall picture, they've changed GMs how many times? They've changed coaches how many times? They've redone the team, by my count, 3 times, and nothing's worked. So now what?
Time is a flat circle, Paul. Never forget.
You've done every option you've done multiple times, and you still haven't made the playoffs in 13 years. So now what?
And that's been my big thing, too, is like you need to win with this group. I mean, you're not going to get, you know, high-end trade pieces because they're not going to want to come play for you. You look like a toxic sludge of an organization. Free agents, same thing. I like this young core they have. And, Paul, you brought that up, too, and it was Cousins as well, so I do want to go to him as well. I mean, is he sort of picking up his game as well? Jack,
yes.
Quinn, less so. But Cousins, it does feel like we're starting to get a little bit of something from him.
Now, Quinn has two. If you watch Quinn on the wall in battles, I think you see an improvement there. That line is in on the forecheck and getting in on the forecheck for the last, I think the Ranger game might have been the first game. They did it against Calgary. So that's where I've seen the improvement in Quinn. And Cousins, you're right, I think has also improved his game, got a nice tip-in goal. You know, going to the net, gets the tip in goal to score. So, it's just your original point. You are very right in what you say about they're kind of stuck. It has to be this group. You forgot one, the biggest point of all. the contracts. Mm-hmm. These are untradeable contracts right now. You have committed to your core. If, and I will say if, this core is not right, because I won't say definitely it's not right. It hasn't looked right yet, but there are also a lot of young players there. So I'm not gonna sit there and say the mistakes have been made. It's possible the mistakes have been made. And if they have been made, you are stuck, because the contracts that you have signed these guys to are untradeable if these players don't get better. And I will say this, the Buffalo Sabres are not the only team in the National Hockey League has done this. This is the way business is done in the NHL. The bridge contracts are very, very minimal now. You hardly ever see them unless it's a guy who you don't think is going to be part of your core. Now, the way I look at Henry Okiharju, they signed him to a one-year contract. That tells me he has not been identified as one of their core players. It's like, well, let's bring him back for one more year and see what happens, type of a thing. So that's the problem. But it's not only the Buffalo Sabres doing business this way. Most teams are doing business this way, locking up young players on potential. And I know many are giving up on Samuelson. I don't know why. He's not that old. If he can start playing like he did when he got that contract, he will be a steal, an absolute steal. He is capable of being a very good defenseman. Have injuries taken their toll? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But, you know, the play has gone down. Is it just a lack of confidence? Have injuries taken their toll? Can he get back to where he was when he, in my mind, was fine playing with Dahlin on the number one pair and did a great job? That's why he got the contract. And 4.5. What is it, $3-5 million, whatever it is. I can look it up while we're talking. You know, it's that's not a lot of money if he's playing the way he did when he started off with. It's $4.286 million that he gets. So that contract will look awfully good if he gets over the injuries, and he's got another one now. We don't know how serious. And that's the other thing. If Tage Thompson is out for any length of time, that's it. This isn't happening. I'm telling you right now. There are some players you cannot afford to lose, and he absolutely is a player. I mean, when he scored that goal, he was a leading goal scorer in the National Hockey League. Yeah. Now, later on in the game, Caulfield caught him and went by him with 12. But he's got 11. He's second in the NHL in goal scoring. They cannot afford to lose him for long term. If that happens, then sorry, folks, it's not going to happen this year.
Sadly, that was going to kind of be my next point, too. I mean, both Samuelson and Thompson leave. They both play under 7 minutes yesterday, or 7 minutes of total ice time. But it's just the goal, I think, yesterday, too, Paul, like just from Thompson, just showed, I mean, just how good he can be. It's effectively a solo effort. Just it drags his defense in with him. He's bigger than him and just goes right to the net. He's an unbelievable player. You've seen how good he is. I've joked now that he has two healthy wrists, because that was obviously an issue last year. I mean, he's back to being superstar Thompson. But yeah, it seems like we're in like this kind of, you know, wait and hold period with the Sabres, because I fully agree with you. If he's out for, I'd even say if it's a week to week, we're going to, you know, or, you know, we think he can be back in 5-6 games. I know that's not how they necessarily say it, but, you know, if he can be back in 5-6 games, you feel good. It's like, not really, actually, no. He has been a force for the Sabres this year. Like you said, he's second in goal scoring this year. He's on a 4-game goal streak now. I mean, he has been an unbelievable player. He's back to kind of what he was 2 years ago, or I think he'd even be on that pace now. And it's just, yeah, I mean, I love what J.J. Paterka looks like. I think he is a wonderful player that is growing to be one of the better forwards on the Sabres. I think Tuck's had a good year. You're getting something out of Cousins as well. But he is... he is a different player from, it seems, the rest of the Sabres, at least at the forward position.
No, he is. And a couple of weeks, maybe they can get away with that. But not much longer than that. You know, if it's a month, 2 months, no. It's,
yeah.
You know, some other guys, you hate to lose them in some cases, but you could get away with it. With him, the way he's playing, I mean, he's a big part of them playing well. That line... Forechuck's hard, and when they're going, and they're going most of the time, they're in the offensive zone for a lot of the game. And you know, it's been they've been a force. You know, just look at Peterka, the goal he scored to give them the lead in the third period. He came flying off the bench, got the puck, backed the defenseman into the goaltender, and then, you know, put a backhand in the net. But it was his speed that backed the defenseman off. They see him coming with that speed. They're backing off. They're not going to stand up at the blue line on that. Or he'll make him look silly. Made him look silly anyway. But, you know, just look at that goal that he scored. I mean, that line is a very important piece to this puzzle if they're going to, you know, start turning this into something big.
And, Paul, last thing on that, too. Are we expecting – I know Lindy Ruff met with Jeremy and Joer this morning. Is he expected to speak now later with the media as well?
No, they're off today.
Okay, they're off today. So it is going to be a longer wait to find out really how long both Thompson and Samuelson potentially could be out, because I know it's more they're still doing the quote-unquote testing, which, man, Paul, for Buffalo sports, it feels like we're not getting like anything definitive on like anybody that's hurt. It's killing me. Like, does Cooper have a broken hand? Why is he wearing the cast? What is Hank Ullman? I have no idea. Oh, it's frustrating.
Yeah, that's the way pro sports rolls. They just, and the NHL is worse because the NHL can get away with lower body and upper body. In the NFL, they actually have to say the injury. But look at Hurts this past week. Apparently, Sirianni slipped. They said, "Oh no, just he's resting. He's fine." And then I guess from what I read, he slipped, and they had to put him on the injury report. They hadn't. Obviously, they hadn't planned on putting him on the injury report.
They were not planning on that at all.
So they're still playing games in the NFL. That should cost the Eagles. That is not the way the injuries are supposed to work. I don't know if it will or it won't, but they were hiding an injury and got caught.
Yeah.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And then you have the opposite end, Baltimore, where every week Lamar Jackson's on the injury report for something. And it's like, no, he's actually fine. We just kind of want to give him a rest day. It's exhausting, Paul. It is exhausting trying to keep up with teams. And then you're right.
Remember, Belichick would put like 27 guys on the injury report because he got caught. So it was like half of the 53-man roster was on the injury report.
A man ahead of his time, because now the Bills have, what, like 19 guys on there? A man ahead of his time. All right, Paul, thank you so much for jumping on with us. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, take care.
That was Paul Hamilton. His sports on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. And yeah, oh man, just keeping up with the injuries is just a nightmare and a half to just deal with. Because you never really know when anyone is actually hurt, if they're going to be out long term. They got rid of probable too, which, I mean, I get it. You weren't really going to use it that much. But, I mean, that's where you also look at Amari Cooper, who has been limited and questionable for 2 weeks, and he's not playing. So, I don't know. It's a small gripe. It's a first world problem. I get it. But it's still something that frustrates the you-know-what out of me. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll get back to some of your tweets as well on sort of the question of the day, that being, has this year's regular season matchup with the Chiefs lost all of its luster, or is it still the quote-unquote game of the year contender for you? We've had a lot of fun kind of jumping around with that. A lot of people, including myself, really, it's the playoffs, baby. That's what it matters. The regular season is just, well, the regular season. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Josh, we got Maction tonight.
You are so excited.
We got the championship classic in college basketball. That was the Michigan State, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke. That match, very excited for that. Could have been glued into that. I thought, though, I'd have to wait a little bit for some sports tonight. Like, I'd have that at 6:30, but I'm still here, so I'm kind of watching that, like, on the TV while I'm still working. 9 o'clock, all right, cool. Kentucky, Duke, I'm there. Nay, nay, sir. 7 o'clock, you be hosting Ball State on a Tuesday. It's action, baby. That's the joys of college football right there. That's the pageantry. That's the tradition. Mac football on a Tuesday night, Ball State at UB. UB 5-4, by the way. Very good year for them. I was able to go to one game this year. They ultimately lost, but it was really fun being at UB and seeing a game. I hadn't been in years. I used to have season tickets when I was a little kid growing up. Fun game, though, ultimately against Western Michigan. Refs kind of, you know, screwed them a little bit at the end. We won't talk about it. It's fine. They blew out Akron, though, the other week. They made it a game kind of late, but what have you. Then they had the bye week. Now Ball State. They win tonight. They're 5-4. They win tonight. They are bowl eligible. And after kind of having two pretty cruddy seasons coming into this year, for Pete Lembo's first year to be bowl eligible for a program like UB, who, I mean, we've recently had some success with that, but overall they have not, would be, I think, a massive win. Again, that game's going to be at 7 o'clock. For radio purposes, going to be on our sister station, The Bet 1520, but also on television, CBS Sports. Should be a lot of fun there. Can't wait. I'm definitely going to check out that game 100%. Get back some tweets here, though. Talking about the Chiefs-Bills matchup this week. It's only Tuesday. We really don't have many storylines, per se, on this game up to this point, outside of the fact for the Bills, Keon Coleman, we know, is out. And on those wide receivers, Michael tweets in, right now with Cooper and Coleman, the Chiefs aren't any better at wide receiver than we are. They have a better tight end if Kincaid doesn't play. I think even if Kincaid plays, they have a better tight end. But let's get healthy. Bye week is next, and then we get a banged up Mahomes looking bad. Mahomes is weird, too, because, I mean, he's picked up ankle injuries, like, every game this year, but has not missed any game time. I mean, Allen has a hand injury. He's still getting treatment about it, so he's still on the injury report, or we'll see this week. I'd like to make him look bad. I want to win this game, though. I'd love for them to go to 9-2 and actually have a fight for the one seed. But in terms of, am I going to be excited and think, like, this is the year they're going to win the Super Bowl just because they beat the Chiefs in the regular season? No. I will feel that way, though, Josh. If they beat them in the playoffs, I will fully be there. It doesn't matter like what round it is. It could be in the divisional round, wild card round. I mean, unlikely, but it could be in any of those rounds. I don't care. I would feel like this is the year. This is the time. They've gotten that monkey off their back. And maybe it's not 100% right to like fully put all my energy into if they beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. I think it's the year. But that's sort of where I'm at. I don't think the Bengals are what they were 2 years ago. I simply don't. I think the Bills can handle the Bengals today. I really, really do. Especially if both teams were healthy, I think absolutely.
I think I'm at the point where I just want to play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game rather than the divisional game. Because
oh, yeah, that's fair. That's
because
fair.
The divisional game, it's like, yeah, great, you beat them. Let's say that happens. Let's say last year the Chiefs or the Bills beat the Chiefs, right? Then they have to go on and play Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's this year, you know, let's say the Texans go on some crazy run and all of a sudden become great again.
Yeah.
And Nico Collins comes back and CJ Stroud looks like he did last year or even better.
I even would argue. I think CJ Stroud actually looked pretty good this year.
Oh, yeah. It's just.
I think the real person that has lost a lot of their luster, Bobby Slowick.
Mm-hmm.
He went from like him and Ben Johnson. They're the two.
Ben Johnson is miles ahead of him now.
And I would argue Slowick is not good. At least this year, he has not been great. By
I think he's just doing the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And people are starting to catch on. Ben Johnson kind of adapted.
He's a witch.
He added. Well, right. It's like taking the blinders off. You have, oh, look, here's all this stuff. Oh, there's all this other stuff. Oh, okay. Great. Cool. Now we have to defend that. But back to, you know, the whole playoff matchup thing. I just would rather play them in the game before the Super Bowl. Play them as late as you possibly can. Just because of how much it's going to take to beat them potentially.
And I've also been somebody for 21 after 13 seconds.
Yeah.
I've now looked at that year. It's still painful. It's less so for me because I now look at that Bengals team who the Bills then had struggles with the next 2 years beating them and having a really bad matchup. And ultimately, well, yes, it took a historically bad performance by Mahomes in the second half for the Bengals to come back.
Right.
I can't say that'd be the same situation for the Bills in Orchard Park.
Right.
And so like I've looked at that a little bit differently, and I think you're right. Like it's like, no, get them in the AFC Championship game so that the next step is the Super Bowl rather than you beat them in the division round. It's like, you know, we're all excited, but then it's like, oh, but we have the AFC Championship game against, you know, for argument's sake, Baltimore.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, this year, I think it'll be the top three that are, you know, in conversation for the Super Bowl or just the AFC Championship is Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore. The Texans will be there. If the Steelers keep this going, they're going to definitely enter that conversation.
They're so cool.
It's just...
I hate them so much.
But they're definitely going to enter that conversation if they keep this going. And if the Bengals can somehow turn it around and continue whatever it is they have going on there, then they're obviously still going to be there. And that's a team that I really don't want to face. That's one of my biggest fears is the Bengals make it to the wild card round and the Bills have to play
the Bills have to play them.
Because that's a team, like we were talking about a few weeks ago with the Steelers, of... They're one of those teams where you just don't want to play them in the playoffs because they're going to beat you and then they're going to get killed the next week.
I'll take them. Their defense is bad.
It is. It is. But their offense is still really good. Jamar Chase has gone through whatever he went through and he's back.
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow is...
Well, he's been there the whole year.
He's still been there, yeah. But I look at what is in front of the Bills and if you can just wait until the last possible minute to have to play the Chiefs, playing the Ravens in the AFC Championship game is my worst nightmare. Because you've played the Chiefs there. You've basically beaten them in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
13 seconds is 13 seconds away from a win.
Yeah.
Like that's the hardest part to look at that season is you're 13 seconds away from going to the championship game against the Bengals, but sure you've beaten the Ravens in the playoffs, but you beat the 2021 Ravens in the playoffs or 2020 Ravens in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That was a completely different team than what they have now of the two-headed monster of Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
I want another shot at him so bad. That defense
I do
is
too.
Abysmal.
I do, too.
It's why
I don't want to see Derrick Henry ruin our hopes and dreams in the AFC Championship game.
He's my one issue. It's not even Lamar. My one issue is Henry because that defense, I think, is atrocious for both them and the Bengals and why I'd be comfortable playing them.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually, the last few weeks, I've gotten more to, I actually don't want to play the Steelers.
Right.
I don't like what they've got going on as an AFC fan.
Because they have T.J. Watt on defense, which he's just a game wrecker. And then you also have Russell Wilson remembering how to play football.
He's more just throwing up prayer balls to Mike Williams and George Pickens. The problem is they're coming down with him.
Right, right. And it's so funny that Mike Williams is just going off.
Apparently good again.
I love it. He was never bad. Aaron Rodgers is bad.
Pickens' touchdown, too, against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
The way he moved his body to get in that position. Phenomenal.
It's stupid.
And you know what, though? I think it did take that win for me. Them beating Washington, for me to be I think the Pittsburgh Steelers might be legit.
Well, because Washington's pretty legit. I mean,
I think they are.
A team that you thought, they offloaded three generational linemen on their defense, 2 years, 1 year ago, 2 years ago, when they traded.
It's been within this run, yeah.
They traded Montez Sweat and Chase Young away.
Jonathan Allen's the only one still there.
And then they draft Jaden Daniels, and you're like, well, that's going to be a fun project for the next few years. And, he's good right away. Cool. Great. And well, their defense is somehow
And the
so
big
good.
Thing, too, was, they didn't even get the right coach.
It was supposed to
be you get Ben Johnson, and now all of a sudden you're going to have this, wunderkind at head coach in the offensive mind with Jaden Daniels. It would be great. And then it was like, oh, no. You get Dan Quinn. Remember when he was last D.C.? Oh, yeah. Green Bay slaughtered the Cowboys on national television. Children were crying. That was your last image of Dan Quinn. I mean, the vibes were kind of low outside of the fact that they changed their owner. And now, obviously, the year's begun, and it's in earnest. They've been really, really good up to this point.
All of this conversation is not going to matter anyway, because whoever gets to the Super Bowl is going to get just stomped by the Lions. I'm fully prepared for
Jared
that.
Jared Goff throws 5 picks, they win a game. That's disgusting.
I know. That's what I'm saying. They're unbeatable. They're the team that should be undefeated.
I'm looking
Why
at it
are
now.
The Lions...
I'm gonna have to adjust my mandate of heaven rankings. The Chiefs are on there.
Yeah, the Lions.
Jared Goff threw five picks and they won a game. Yeah, and they've also won the last few weeks off of defensive touchdowns, special teams touchdowns, and they've
and
blown
Jake Bates,
teams out. Yeah,
going from a USFL kicker to just NFL legend.
Yeah,
I drafted him this year in a league in the last round because you got to take a kicker. And everyone's like, why are you taking the Lions kicker? I'm like, because this dude just nails everything.
Yep.
67 yarders, not a problem.
I'll put my top 20. I'll put my top 5 Mandate of Heaven rankings, I think, after this for the NFL.
Yeah?
I'm debating now between who is it, Detroit or Kansas City is one.
The Steelers are up there.
The Steelers are going to be up there. Detroit's going to be there. Kansas City's going to be there.
San Francisco?
Nope.
Really?
They've had a tough year. It'd be one thing if they were kept winning games and they were hurt. Tough year.
Wait, are we basing it off this season or?
This season, yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, if we're basing it off history, San Francisco should definitely be in that conversation because
two
they just go to every single Super Bowl and just lose.
Yeah,
like that's their whole thing.
It might just be those three teams. I mean, there's no then we're getting into like players.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce, probably.
Yeah, I guess
he's up there.
No, just keep it to teams. I think and
Minnesota
for this season. I was gonna say for this season you could put Minnesota in there. Could you put Green Bay in there, or is that just good coaching?
I mean, Minnesota could arguably be good coaching.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else there would be. The Falcon? No.
No. That's just good vibes. That's all that is.
If you're doing
is good vibes.
If you're doing the absolute inverse of this, it would be like the Jaguars and the Cowboys.
And like, the Bears.
Like the exact opposite of
Bears.
What you expect them to be and expect them to do. And all the goodness and glory that you can see them getting. And it's just tank.
Just so bad. Just so bad. The Bears. Shane Waldron fired.
Yeah, that's something.
Caleb Williams, 9 sacks against the Patriots. And I think it was Tim Hasselbeck yesterday on Colin Cowherd's show said he's like, yeah, a lot of those sacks are on quarterbacks. They are. He's like, I'd probably put 6 of them on Caleb. And I'm like, that's still so many.
Right.
Still
right.
So many.
And then the fact that his offensive line doesn't help him off the ground. I mean, that's a bad look.
I mean, I saw something. I think the Barstool guys for Chicago brought this up too, of like, this is the Mahomes theory, like living itself out, which for Chicago fan or for people that don't know, it's a Chicago thing that it didn't matter if we took Mitch Trubisky to match Mahomes. They both would have been bad here.
Oh, okay.
And it was always obviously a theory. You would never know. Mahomes goes to Kansas City, Mitch Trubisky goes to Chicago. They're all saying like, no, we're figuring it out now.
This is the exact thing that would have happened.
They got DJ Moore. They've got Roma Dunze. But they are still the Chicago Bears. So they've still got a defensive coach. They've still got that mindset. And Caleb Williams looks terrible. And he does. And I think that's – look, does he have moments? Yes. But for the most part, he has not looked good at all. And then I think that game – or the last few games. But really the Patriots game was maybe the magnum opus of terribleness.
I still think the best possible scenario for this offseason, for the most drama and the most success for next year – please, Ben Johnson, go to Chicago.
Well, yeah, because then as just a neutral NFL fan, I'm like, the NFC North is paradise.
Just, yeah.
Like,
That. I want the rivalries.
You already have some of the older rivalries. But you already have some of the older rivalries anyway. Like,
right.
Chicago, Green Bay is already a standing rivalry.
Right.
Now, yeah, you would have Chicago and Detroit of, like, Detroit fans going, like, you betrayed us.
Yeah.
Like, we knew you were going to leave, but really, to the Bears?
Well, I mean, there's already kind of a rivalry there anyway, just because of the divisional aspect.
Oh, yeah.
But
you add on to it.
But
there's
adding
another chapter
on to it
to the story.
Of your offensive coordinator, like, pulling the biggest 180 ever and not going to Washington.
So good.
And being like, hey, I'll stay with you guys. Psych, we just won a Super Bowl. I'm going to go to Chicago and play with Caleb Williams.
So like, good. The sting will be gone if they win a Super Bowl. If they go to the Super Bowl and lose and then he leaves, that is a hell of an offseason.
Yeah. That's the dream.
Yep. 803-0550 is the number to call. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. Get you ready for Sabres Live at the top of the hour. This is WGR. Welcome back, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So we've tweeted out the top 5, the NFL Mandate of Heaven rankings through week 10. I now kind of want to make this a weekly thing because I feel good about this. Because I throw it out there a lot for certain teams. I feel good about this. So for those that don't know, the Mandate of Heaven is a thing from ancient China. That's what allowed dynasties to rule. It was divine intervention, essentially. That's where I'm at with this rankings. This is clearly divine intervention is playing into what the team is this year.
Think of angels in the outfield.
Bingo. Thank
like
you.
Plays that are happening that you can't explain why they're happening. Like the one scene from Angels in the Outfield where the outfielder is diving for a ball he's not going to catch, and then he just swoops in and catches it.
And
that's what you think about. Think about the Kansas City block from this past week as if it was angels in the outfield.
So with that, the rankings, we're going to go from the bottom to the top. At 5, we have Green Bay. Jordan Love has not been playing that well this year, and even when he is, he's not even on the field half the time. They've had Malik Willis going in, and yet they're still 6-3. You can argue that's good coaching, sure, but we need top 5, and Green Bay, I think, finds their way on this list there. Honorable mention, because Josh, me and you were talking in this, we had Arizona. Arizona's good, but they're not great. Green Bay feels like a team that like is still taking that next step, even though they're not particularly playing that well on offense.
Right.
They're getting just enough out of it.
Even though they paid Jordan Love stupid money, and then Malik Willis is winning them games.
I'm still okay with that, though. I'm a big fan of Jordan Love.
That's
number
fair.
Four, Atlanta. Kirk Cousins is quarterback.
Big Kirko wakes up like this. That's all I got to say.
I mean, that's kind of what it is. I mean, you have Atlanta with Kirk Cousins winning games. They drafted Michael Penix Jr. The vibes were absolutely terrible there. They got the bonus of an atrocious division, even though the Saints started off the year looking like the hottest team in football to only lose seven straight. Carolina's in the division. That can only be brought to you by higher power having Carolina in your division. And then, along with all of that, they are a plus 2 point differential at 6-4. That is not good football, and yet they are 6-4. Number three, Pittsburgh. Do I even have to talk about it? Mike Tomlin is yet to have a losing season, and Russell Wilson goes from basically not being able to play any kind of good football to now he is throwing up prayer balls, divine intervention, to George Pickens and Mike Williams, and it's working. They are scoring on offense at a really good pop.
There was an account on social media his first year in Denver,
mm-hmm.
and they were keeping track of how many days it took for Russell Wilson to have more touchdowns thrown than bathrooms in his house. He has 12 bathrooms in his house.
That's too many.
12.
That's too many.
Reportedly, apparently.
And on that point, they are 4 points better in point differential than Baltimore. They're at 7-2. Baltimore's at 7-3. The difference is Baltimore scored over 100 points more than them, 318 to 215. And
Whoa.
Yet, there they are at 7-2.
Wait.
They were winning games with Justin Fields. They're winning games with Russell Wilson, 7-2. And I think now at this point, too, after the win against Washington, we got to start taking them seriously.
That point differential, that...
It's fun, isn't it?
That doesn't make sense. I don't understand how that maths.
So good. On to the top two. We previewed it at the end of the last segment, and here it is. Detroit is at number two. Really, for them, they're a good team ascending. They're entirely on this list for the sheer fact that Jared Goff threw five interceptions and they won a football game.
Yeah, this is definitely like a weekly thing. It's not like the whole like year. Because
Detroit
has
flew
been
up
very good.
Detroit is very good, but again,
this past week,
Goff threw five interceptions and they won.
And their field goal kicker, again, Jake Bates, amazing,
mm-hmm.
makes two incredible field goals.
They barely
makes them.
I will say, like, Detroit likely is off this list next week. They are, I think, the most complete team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Their
yeah,
point differential,
for sure.
113. They've scored 284 points. They've only given up 171. 8-1. They look like the class of the NFC.
Another team that's hopefully off this list next week is number one.
Kansas City, probably not. They will still likely be on this list, at least even just a little bit. You can't go from one to off the list. Kansas City's at one. I mean, how many times are we going to have to go through these one-score games? I heard Joe losing his mind about it, too, where it just seems like they're like 50-0 in one-score games. It's just absurd. And again, this time, too. But Denver does everything they needed to do to set up an easy chip shot field goal for the win. And what happens? Their left guard completely falls down, and it's a blocked field goal for Kansas City. It is absurd. They're not playing great football. Everyone else around them is just playing poorly. And it's frustrating as all you know what. Even their, I mean, you look at their stats too. Their point differential is plus 58. The Chargers are 10 points more than them at plus 68. And they've only scored 186 points, Josh. They haven't even scored 200 yet. Kansas City has scored 219, and they're still 10 points below that point differential for Kansas City or for the Chargers. They keep winning games. They're 9-0. It's absolutely absurd. I can't stand it. It's frustrating the hell out of me, man. But they go to number one, really, until further notice, because if they beat – honestly, they beat Buffalo, we all know something fluky's happening.
What if they lose to the Bills?
Like just lose?
Yeah, like it's not –
they'll be third.
It's not a close game, but it's also not like a blowout.
They'll be third.
Yeah, because some stupid will probably still happen in the game.
Well, and also this is through week 10. Up to this point, we're
true.
You know, sure,
true.
This is our first time doing it, but we're going weeks here.
Mm-hmm.
They've had their moments before this. Isaiah Likely grew up to have size 12 sneakers instead of size 11. Ja'Marr Chase inexplicably, randomly loses his mind over a not really missed call for an official to the point where he draws a penalty himself. They've had a lot of these moments here. But yeah, that's our NFL mandate of heaven rankings through week 10. It's going to do it for me and Josh. We'll be back on tomorrow. Coming up next, though, after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.